Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Micro Effect Radio Network at themicroeffect.com, and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Rolling.
So, Nickety Nickety Nima V, what's up?
What's up, Michael Dean? I'm chilling. Chilling.
So, what was the line you just said from a song before we started?
Did I say a line from a song?
You said, "What's up, I'm smoking crack?"
Oh, yeah.
What it is, motherfuckers? I'm high on crack.
And I said, what is that from?
It's from the Bloodhound Gang, Michael.
I really like their song, "You and Me, Baby, Ain't Nothing But Mammals."
So let's do it like
let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Right. Yeah, that's a good song. That whole album is really good. Hooray for boobies. It's hilarious. And I was telling you, Jimmy Pop, the singer, or whatever you want to call him, I think he's definitely up there in the echelon of top white rappers. I think he's pretty dope. If you want proof, check out a song called "The Vagina Song" by Bloodhound Gang. It is amazing.
Boy, we're not even started with the cast here, and I think we've offended half our audience. That's cool, though.
It's a good way to start, yeah. We got to ruffle your feathers a bit before we start injecting the freedom into you.
I like that when that band played on Jay Leno's show, as soon as they finished the song, the singer ran over to Jay's desk and, like, tongue-kissed Jay Leno on the lips and said, "My mother loves you."
Yeah, rock star antics are always great. That's why I wish I was a rock star, so I could do crazy shit like that.
Sometimes with some parents, it doesn't matter if you're, like, famous or making a living at your music. It's like, they don't know you're real until you're on Jay Leno, you know?
Yeah, well, luckily my parents don't watch Jay Leno, so I'm lucky enough in that regard.
Your mom's subversive
in
a good
is.
Way. Your mom likes all of our stuff. My mom is dead, but if she were alive, she wouldn't like much of what we're doing.
Really?
Yeah.
What wouldn't she like about it?
Well, she was a Republican, you know, and we agree with some of what the Republicans believe, but think that they're into quarter measures or tenth measures. But
some of what they say, sometimes I don't know if they really believe what they say. And I don't know who they is. I guess I'm talking about the establishment Republicans here.
I mean, you have to remember, like, we're talking 30 years ago, you know, my image of her politics. But she was very conservative in a lot of ways. She was very artistic, too. Like, she ran a store, and she would do the window displays in the store, and they were very artistic.
Yeah.
I would definitely say she had an artistic... I get all of my artistic ability from her, and I get all of my business skills from her and my dad. You know, my dad's not very artistic, but you know, he appreciates beauty in a simple way. I don't know. She's just very conservative.
Okay.
She didn't like to rock the boat. She did believe drugs should be illegal. She believed those laws were protecting people. You know, that's the that leads into the title of today's cast. The drug war is terrorism.
It so is.
Talk about that.
Well, I think you mentioned that the drug wars probably ruined far more lives than 9/11, than the terrorist attacks on 9/11. I think you're definitely right about the terrorist attacks on 9/11. The only way I would challenge that statement is the aftermath of 9/11 as far as the Patriot Act and the war on Iraq and all that. But the actual terrorist attack itself, the buildings falling down, I think are probably caused less damage in that one instant than the whole of the drug war.
And I think a lot of people would take us to task for that. And I think we need to provide more information because, you know, nearly 3,000 Americans were killed in that on American soil. And
right.
That really bummed a lot of people out, and rightfully
so. It was a horrible tragedy, of course.
So I think we need a little more to back up that the drug war has ruined more lives than that. First of all, how has the drug war ended lives? I mean, occasionally with someone getting swatted and getting shot, but more than that, how has it ended lives?
Well, it ends lives because people get thrown in cages. They get thrown in cages in prisons and gang raped and have to spend years in there. And even if they only spend, you know, 3-4 years in prison for their joint or their, you know, teener of coke or whatever, that can ruin their whole lives. Then they're a felon. They can't get a job. They become part of the underclass almost permanently, unless they have some kind of amazing success story. And
we're talking millions of people. And it's, you know, I don't really know how you do the math of millions of lives ruined equals how many thousands killed. But at some point, and people are killed in the drug war. People kill themselves over being screwed by the drug war.
Families kill themselves
over it.
A lot of people are killed. Unfortunately, in the short amount of time I had here, I wasn't able to come up with a good number for how many people. And I don't think anybody's ever looked into compiling that number. That'd be a great research project, I think, is to find out how many people. I mean, you would include people who've obviously been raided, been swatted, people who've died in prison after nonviolent offenses, you know, just anybody who's been killed by cops in the drug war. And cops, I mean, that's the other thing. Cops can be victims here in this too. There's no reason they should be putting their life on the line to go bust some drug dealers. Another way, if you want to talk about deaths, there are actually stats on Mexico's drug war. So we haven't been able to compile, I haven't been able to compile any American stats, but
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of innocents killed, you know, and the word innocent would be broad in my definition. In my definition of it, it would include anyone nonviolent who's dealing drugs who's killed because of it. But I don't think mainstream or middle America would include that. They'd say, oh, they deserve it. But neighbors are shot. People are shot in the crossfire. I mean, I would include anybody who's been walking down the street and caught a stray bullet in the American drug war, or the Mexican drug war, or any drug war. That would not exist in LibPair. If drugs were legal, those wars wouldn't be going on.
Exactly. Well, like we've said a million times before, the cartels wouldn't exist if it weren't for the drug war.
Yeah, they'd go into politics instead.
Right, which then they'd ruin more lives.
Well, you know, the high-level people would go into politics, and the low-level people would
pick bananas.
You know, pick bananas or pick pockets.
Right, but they wouldn't have, you know, submarines and automatic weapons. But the number for people, and this is government stats and then I think some media stats, the most recent number I saw for people dead in Mexico's drug war since 2006, which, remember, Mexico's drug war is a direct correlation to our drug war. 40,000 people dead in Mexico's drug war.
Have you seen those new pictures coming out of the armored vehicles that the cartels are making, the killdozers they're making?
Are they making killdozers now?
Oh, they're making killdozers that make that one in Denver look like a Prius, off the lot Prius. Picture the armoring that guy spent a year doing to that vehicle in Denver that we talked about in our episode, Two Killdozers in Every Garage. Imagine if that guy had a team of like 40 mechanics and welders and an unlimited budget.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, pretty scary stuff. You know,
I mean, they're making tanks. They're making tanks out of SUVs, basically, and shooting cops and civilians out of little holes in them that can't be perforated.
Right, right. And of course, they're going to, because what would you do if you ran a cartel? The only way to get your product to market is to use violence, because violence is being used against you when you're trying to bring your product to the market.
Now, I would not call that self-defense, but it is happening and it will happen.
No. I don't think it's self-defense, but I do think that we're creating conflict, or the governments are creating conflict where there should be none. There's obviously a market for heroin, crack, coke, pot. There always will be a market for that, no matter how many guns you point at how many people. You'll never, ever, 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 ever get rid of that market. So all you're doing is pointing the guns, but giving the drug dealers reasons to shoot back.
I have a prediction that I want to get on record.
What's that?
How long do you think until the cartels have armed drones? Spy drones that are armed?
I would say not long. And, you know, not just cartels, but, you know, I read an article recently, I forget where, but, you know, other countries are close to getting drone technology.
America just gave the technology to Iran. Do you know about that?
Because the drone was shot over Iranian airspace?
It was, well, Iran says they shot it down. America says, oops, we crashed it. But yeah,
right.
It crashed.
We'll probably
in
never
Iran.
Know because it's two governments, so they're obviously both lying. So.
Well, I think Iran is telling the truth, because, you know, otherwise why would America have to be putting their tail between their legs and saying, oops, it crashed? You know, that's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, really embarrassing. Yeah, so I don't know if the Iranians are going to be able to pick that apart.
I mean, I don't think the cartels would need to go to those lengths. I think they take radio-controlled model airplanes, you know. I mean, the drones, the thing about the drones is that they can fly ultra-high and they can fly for days at a time. But, you know, the cartels wouldn't need that. They could just go to a hobby shop and get a $300 airplane and put a camera and a bomb in it.
Right, right.
They probably will.
Well, the other thing about cartels is, you know, it seems like their offensive reasons are mostly for killing other cartels or rival gangs. And it seems like they're doing that. I don't know if drones will really help them with that pursuit.
Well, I think that they would like to have them just because...
It's the weapon of the future. I mean, that's where everything's going towards now. It's Skynet.
They have tanks, they have helicopters, they have 50 caliber machine guns. All they don't have is drones and nukes, really.
Nukes, huh?
Everyone talks about being worried that people living in a cave in Afghanistan are going to get a hold of a nuke. They don't have the money that the cartels in Mexico have.
Right.
Or the plugged-inness with modern society. I mean, I think that the Mexican cartels could get a nuke tomorrow.
What do you think they would do with the nuke? Put it in Mexico City and say, leave us alone?
Probably. Put one there and one in D.C. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of how Mulan Labe ends, is a bunch of peaceful people get three nukes and put them in D.C. and say, leave Wyoming alone.
Well, it's a really interesting tension there between the cartels and the governments, because the governments are the ones pursuing the drug war. But at the same time, if the cartels don't want the government to stop the drug war. They don't want the governments to say, okay, well, drugs are all legal now, because like we said before, they wouldn't exist anymore. They have no market advantage other than their ability to use force.
I don't think nukes would really work for them. Although I think that Mulan Labe kind of has a point of, like, you know, nukes would be the only thing that would allow a geographical area to secede and be... A nuke is the ultimate leave me the f*** alone weapon. You know, guns and bombs, like, everybody has guns and bombs. The IRA have guns and bombs, you know.
Right.
And they have staved off the government. And actually, they've kind of bombed their way into the parliament there a bit. You know, they have representation now through Sean Finn or Sean... Sane Finn, is it? Sean
Sane Finn? Fine, I don't know. I don't know how those Irishmen pronounce their words.
You know, they did some interesting terrorism. Was when they were using snipers to shoot cops, they went out and hung up road signs that looked exactly like municipal street road signs. Like, they made them to the specifications of them to look exactly like them, with a silhouette of a guy with a gun that said sniper at work, and hung them around the towns they were working in.
Wow. So they had a sense of humor about it as well. Some dry Irish wit there.
Yeah. There's an interesting, I've been researching pirate radio and micro broadcasting, and there's a treatise that was written, I believe, by the IRA, that was released in Ireland in the 80s about pirate radio. It was called Radio is Our Bomb. I'd say podcasting is our bomb.
Podcasting is totally our bomb.
Podcasting is the bomb.
I think the pen is mightier than the sword, and the voice is mightier than the pen, and video is mightier than the voice. Although I don't know now, maybe they're on the same level right now with podcasting being so much more accessible.
I think that the pen is mightier than the sword if you have a sword.
You have to have a sword as well, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think that the pen is mightier than the weapon if you own weapons to back them up.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
I don't know if it's an if directly there, but I do think that the redundancy is necessary. Like, you know, like Boston says, you don't just own a gun and that's it. You have layers of security.
Right.
You got to have a nice locked door, have a good dog that'll bark, all that good stuff.
I wish I had a good dog. When you went out before the cast to walk your dog, we talked before and you said, I got to go walk my dog.
Yep.
I went and took a walk around a couple blocks just because I'm such a hermit. I wanted to get out.
And you wish you had a dog to walk.
I was fantasizing I was walking your dog, because I've walked your dog before.
Yeah, we used to walk Yukon in open carry in downtown Casper at midnight.
And I watched your dog for a few days when you were out of town and he destroyed your apartment. So I brought him over and kept him in my backyard in the summer and couldn't bring him in because the cats would have flipped out. They flipped out having him in the backyard anyway.
Right.
Just seen him out the window. But yeah, I had a lot of fun walking Yukon.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. He's a good dog, but he sure would not bark at anybody. He's not a layer of security at all.
Yeah. I think that my two cats, the Squittens, Peanut and Fuzzy, are a layer of security because As soon as anybody like steps on our property,
they run away.
They run and hide in the basement. And they don't do it when there's a rabbit or a deer out there. You know, they do it when there's people.
Right, right.
Charlie, on the other hand, you know, if someone robbed the house and we weren't here, Charlie'd be rubbing up against their leg as they're carrying our things out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what my dog, he'd be like, oh, great, another human. Awesome. New friend.
I know. So back to the drug war being terrorism. Another thought I have, if a foreign entity or a domestic entity of private citizens acted like the warriors of the drug war do, can you imagine? I mean, it would be like 10 times the Patriot Act would be put in place the next day. If there were American revolutionaries or foreign agents kicking in doors in America and kidnapping people and putting them in a cage. You know, I mean, there are a little bit of that in Phoenix and Tucson from the drug war leaking over, but
right.
It's generally only rich people and they give them back when they get the money, which isn't good, but it's better than the government does. You know, you can't buy your way out of a drug bust. I mean, you sort of can, but you can't really. But can you imagine if there were teams of ninja'd out guys with, you know, AR-15s, kicking in random doors and dragging people out in the middle of the night, the response?
Well, there already is. And yeah, that's what does strike me as so crazy, is because there is no response right now, only because they're wearing a certain uniform. Because they're the cops, and we see commercials every day about how cops are here to protect and serve and all this nonsense propaganda. If it was, you know, a gang or the mafia or, you know, people from Iran or China, people would be up in arms. They would have their guns. They would have neighborhood watches.
There'd be martial law, too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what there would be, but I know it'd be insanely different than it is now, because like you said, right now we do have people, we have SWAT teams, and they get the houses wrong sometimes, and they bust in and they shoot people. And trust me, I am way more scared against something like a SWAT team or American law enforcement than I am against a drug dealer or a murderer or anybody else who might knock on my door. If a local drug gang knocks on my door, I might have a chance.
If anyone knocks on my door at 4 a.m, first of all, I probably wouldn't answer it. I'd probably yell, who the f*** is it?
Yeah.
And not open it. But I would have not a handgun. I'd have a rifle in my hand.
Yes, exactly. Me too.
You know, I'd have a rifle that could shoot through a door and shoot through body armor in my hand, because I'd assume it's some gang hitting the wrong house or something.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I would I'd probably knock over my washer. My washing machine would lay behind it with my rifle pointed at the door.
A washing machine wouldn't be – it wouldn't protect you against rifle bullets probably.
Not against rifle bullets, but I think it'd protect me against handgun cartridges or shotgun shells.
It depends if it hits the big tub in the middle. If it doesn't, it's just going through two pieces of
sheet
steel.
Metal. Yeah, you're right. You know. You're right. Then nothing.
Well, there's a difference between cover
– concealment.
Concealment and cover. Right. It would be good concealment but not good cover. Yeah. And to know the difference, okay, concealment is something you can hide behind. Cover is something that protects you from bullet. And you can have cover that's not concealment and concealment that's not cover. Bulletproof glass would not be concealment, but it would be some cover.
Yes.
Blades of grass would be concealment, but not cover.
Right. And honestly, in my house, I think I'd rather have the cover. I guess in most situations, you'd rather have the cover than the concealment. But in close quarters, I definitely want cover.
And that's another thing, is people that practice self-defense should always practice what they call slicing the pie, which is hiding around a corner and peeking the least amount of your body and your rifle or your gun that you can around that corner to clear what's behind that corner. And, you know, I mean, anything is better than nothing. I mean, the corner inside an apartment that's made out of two pieces of ply board will not stop a bullet, but it might slow it down enough that it'll just harm you and not kill you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, bullets don't like to go through a lot of stuff before they hit a person. They slow down.
Yep.
They slow down a lot in water. Have you ever seen any of those YouTube videos of, like, Glocks being shot underwater?
No.
I mean, they fall to the bottom of the pool in, like, 20 feet.
Huh. No, I have never seen that. I'd like to see that. That'd be interesting. But I think my point is, like you said, the drug war is terrorism. And in that, we must remember that the drug warriors are the terrorists, and they are scary. You know, I'm not scared of terrorists. I am not scared of any brown people in any country, because I honestly don't think there's any chance that they're going to be able to kill me. But cops kill people, and I have cops here around me all the time. And if I tried to fight back against a cop, that whole SWAT team is coming down on my ass hard.
At best, you're going to be in jail for resisting arrest. At worst, you're going to be dead.
At best, I'll be thrown in a prison and gang raped, and that's not a very good best. Whereas if it's a terrorist, you know, there are many examples of the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber. People on the plane just beat the crap out of them or hold them until they land, and then they throw those guys in jail.
You know, I really think that the underwear bomber, first of all, I don't think that's a false flag. I think he was a patsy. I think he was a young, dumb kid
right.
who believed the 72 virgins things and had a pretty life and was poor and wanted to be something, and some people got a hold of him and said, okay, you carry the package. I almost think that they made the package intentionally to not detonate, because it was easier than killing a bunch of people, and what it accomplished was Americans all getting molested now. I think that was the intent. I think that was the terrorism.
Especially for the people who think that they hate us for our freedoms. Maybe that is true, which I don't think it is. But if that were true, then yeah, this would be a perfect tactic to do things like this so that the government clamps down on our freedoms and gets rid of them. And then problem solved in their mind, right?
All right, man. I think we have solved the... I think we've proved the point that the drug war is terrorism. Let's save this and move on.
Yep.
And now, some corporate whoring for one of our favorite products.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Howdy, I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmith's. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmith's. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kiddies.
Vaporsmith's e-cigs revolutionize nicotine ingestion by bringing it into the 21st century. With Vaporsmith's, you'll enjoy all the invigorating nicotine with none of the nasty smoke. Vaporsmith's are clean, efficient, and tasty. Available in 3 strengths and 8 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com for a free starter kit, a $39.95 value, with the purchase of 40 cartomizers or more by using coupon code FREEDOMFIEND. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. Vaporsmiths. I'm enjoying one right now. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Anti-war. Pro-gun. New show on the Micro Effect Radio Network, Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty weekly chat about constitutional, libertarian, minarchist, and anarchist issues, abuse of authority by police, the war on drugs, the war on guns, self-defense, states' rights, natural rights, Austrian economics, DIY art, low-budget filmmaking, digital recording, activism, rock and roll, and more. Freedom Fiends, Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Learn more about The Micro Effect at themicroeffect.com.
So I just added a picture on Skype. So, because I'm looking at a picture of you that you have set as your profile, I added one of me. What is it? What is it?
Is you with a snowball and my gat on your hip.
Yep.
I say my gat because
I sold it to
I
you.
Bought it from you. Yes, yes. Not only did you teach me how to shoot, but you sold me a gun.
And I sold it to you cheap. I sold it to you for $300 with some mags and a holster, and I paid $500 just for the gun.
Yeah.
$525,
yep,
actually.
You sure
but
did.
That's California prices.
California prices, but it was a great deal for me, and I got five mags out of it and the holster.
Guns don't really go down in value. I mean, you could definitely sell that all for more than I sold it to you for. I was doing you a solid.
Totally doing me solid. And I appreciate it. And you're right. And I almost did a story on that when I was in Wyoming. I put it on the story idea wall when I was working at the news station in Wyoming, thinking about doing a story on how guns are also a store of value, you know, like gold. Because I had noticed that if you go to forums from like gun forums from like 2005, 2006, you know, the prices are much lower. They seem to go up as the price of the dollar goes down.
Yeah. And if they go down at all, they go down to like 80 or 90% of retail value, which is a lot better than, you know, TVs or computers.
Right, right. I guess some of it is based on how good of condition you keep them in. I mean, if you play a lot of Russian roulette and spin your, might get some scuffs on the thing.
Oh, I wanted to mention, we did some work on the podcast this week. We now have mobile support. So if you go view the site for freedomfiends.com on a mobile device, it will give you a different version of it that's mobile friendly, and it'll view quicker and move quicker and go from page to page quicker.
Yeah.
And we now have a forum called the Freedom Fiends Fun Forum. There's a little link on the main page, and I'll also link it directly in the show notes for this cast.
It's our own 4-H club, I guess. Or it's the 4F, not the 4-H, my bad.
4F. Well, you know, 4F means not suitable for military service. I've been using your quote as a selling point when I'm posting it on different places. You said, Facebook is like the hallways in high school. The Freedom Fiends Fun Forum is more like having a smoke with your good friends behind the gym.
Exactly. Yeah, the hallway, yeah. Public school, I mean, it's a bunch of people. You know, some are cool, some aren't. Some people are just annoying as hell. But the point is, it's really noisy and there's a lot going on. I love Facebook. I'm not saying don't do Facebook. But sometimes you want to just go talk with like-minded people, discuss like-minded things, and maybe not have liberals asking you.
Well, actually, the rule and the selling point of it is it's a bunch of nice people. Mm. We would welcome someone who's a liberal and let them stick around until we educate them and brainwash them. You know, we would not welcome a libertarian who's an asshole. We would delete them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and me and Mama Liberty and my friend Marion and our friend Derek, who won the camera, all have varying levels of God privileges on the site. So, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid you're going to get banned for being spirited. You won't. But we are going to keep the weenies out.
Basically, just don't attack people. No ad hominem attacks. No, you know, abusive type stuff.
Right. Yeah, the only rule, and this is posted, is do not initiate aggression, you know, so. And we, there's no spam there, too, because we got rid of the spammers. We did have a catch paw, but the spam bots had broken it, and they were coming in floods. And then we changed it from a catch paw to a challenge question, and the question is, type one of the first names of one of the fiends. And, you know, you either type Nima, Michael, or DJ. It's not case sensitive, and you will be on.
Very easy for anybody who's listened to the Freedom Fiends.
Mm-hmm.
But very hard for the spam bots.
Yep.
That's the idea.
Worms. Yeah. So we got a donation this week, $20 from Brian Anderson. Want to thank him. He said we cost him a lot of money because between four of his friends buying Mosins and me and Nima talking about him, he had to get one. He picked one today, bought a bunch of ammo, loves it. Worms. And I said, good, when is Stalin going to send me a royalty? And then he sent, while I was typing that, he was sending a $20 donation.
Oh, nice, nice. Yes, thank you very much, Brian. That is awesome. And I hope you continue to love your Mosin. I know I love mine. I pick it up and play with it sometimes, even when I'm not shooting it. I just like to see it there laying next to my bed, ready to defend against the Nazis.
Yeah. So there's really good news this week is after a year of clamoring and trying for it, our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom is finally out.
Oh yeah. Guns and Weed, baby. Yes.
Another meme in the stream for the fiends.
Exactly. Like we said before, we had put it out previously, but it was in sort of an edited, toned down version, no cussing, less hip hop.
$120.
$120 a copy, yes.
Yeah, we sold like 11 copies. I'm surprised we even sold that.
Yeah.
I think we sold like 15 and four of them got returned once the Autobots realized how much they paid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah. You know, speaking of commerce, people should go buy it because you're being a good agorist by buying it.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody was aggressed upon in the making of the movie.
Or the selling. You could go on Amazon. We'll be pushy. We'll say, look, if you don't buy this movie, you're stealing. If you listen to one more second of the Freedom Fiends without making a donation or buying our movie on Amazon, you're stealing. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, obviously. But it's a way to support us without donating. You get something in return. It's not charity.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm actually having a sale right now. If you go on the Freedom Fiends Fund Forum, there's a link. You can buy it for $12 postpaid until Christmas or until I run out of these 10 copies. So go on and do that.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a great the Commie Star Tribune has a good headline today on the front page. It says, Guns, Beer, and Pawn Shops. That's a very Wyoming headline.
Hell yeah. Sounds like my kind of story. And I'm guessing it's the Commie Star Tribune. They're saying all these are bad things, probably.
Yeah, basically. I mean, the subtext under the headline, the smaller headline, says it all. City Council faces full agenda. And I take the double meaning of the word agenda there. I mean, they mean the things that are on their list, but I think they really mean they already have decided what they're going to vote on all these.
They want to reduce people's freedoms for all of these things, infringe on their liberties.
Yeah.
And they've done that with the pawn shops before there in Wyoming, and they do it here where I'm at now too in different ways. But they had a rule when I was working in Wyoming that the city council did, basically saying that anything they sold they had to like hold for at least a month, and it was really screwing with pawn shops who deal in metals because the price of gold and silver obviously fluctuates on a day-to-day basis. So it's really hard to run a business when the government says what you can sell and when you can sell it.
Well, that's what this is about, is it's the pawn shop owners saying, hey, we don't like this. And taking it to the city council.
Right, you know, with their hat in their hand, asking for permission, who don't deserve any ability to give permission for these guys. They should not be the gatekeepers of their business.
I think an unintended consequence of this is people are going to skip pawn shops and deal black market person to person and not pay any taxes. The government's going to lose money because of this.
You know, I hope that is the case. I mean, I don't want pawn shops to be hurting, but I do want governments to understand that when you lock free activity and market activity, people find a way around it, and then you don't get to steal as much.
We need to educate people, and you know, people can change, and you and I are recovering statists, so we're good people to help people learn in the same way that a recovering alcoholic is better at sobering someone up than some doctorate in addictionology who's never had a problem. And here's an example of how I've changed. I found an interview from 5 years ago. It's a radio interview I did on a podcast that doesn't exist anymore, called the Media Geek Radio Show. It was a podcast that was also syndicated on a bunch of radio shows, sort of like we are. The guy was interviewing me about the DIY or Die movie. I'll put this little two-minute excerpt in here. Now, I will say that the guy's laugh sounds almost exactly like Nima's laugh.
But it is not
so
me.
Realize it's not Nima
I
laughing.
Did not know Michael okay, back so, then.
Yeah, so here's me being a statist in 2007. I don't have a problem with anarchists in theory. I believe that if there were anarchy, I would be murdered, and so would a lot of people. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of cops, but I'm really glad they're there when someone breaks into my house and they come when I call them. But the jacket that comes with anarchy a lot of times includes the idea that property is theft, which it doesn't necessarily work with true anarchist theory. But I got a lot of that. You know, I would do the Q&A after showing the film, and at least one person in almost every city in Europe stood up and said, why do you have this copyright symbol? This is stealing, you know? And I'm like, F you. It's not stealing. I made this. I put a year of my life into it. I own it. I have release forms from everybody. I own it. I can do what I want with it. And conversely, I haven't been piggy with it. I've been very kind with it. I put the movie out on DVD, took the time and trouble to get it translated into 5 different languages and put subtitles on it. It's got subtitles in English, French, German, Italian, and Spanish. It's the only independent film in the world that has all five of those languages as subtitles. It also has no region encoding and no copy protection, and people were encouraged to make 10 copies of it and give them away. Now, if somebody had bootlegged 5,000 copies and sold them commercially, I would have gone after them with a lawyer. That's why the copyright notice is on it. If someone had put a beer ad in the middle of it and broadcast it without my permission, I'd go after them with a lawyer. That's what the copyright symbol's for. I mean, basically what I was trying to do was invent something that's very similar to what Creative Commons is. Creative Commons, a lot of people don't know, it's people think it's an alternative to copyright. It's actually not. It is putting a copyright on something and then softening the limitations to varying degrees.
All right, Nima, what'd you think of that? I was saying anarchy's bad and cops are good. What'd you think
sort
of that?
You sort of chuckled. You like laughed anarchy off as if it were a ridiculous idea. The state with your love of cops. I guess you didn't love the cops.
No, I said I have no love of cops, but I'm glad they're here because I'd be murdered without them. And I don't believe that's true anymore.
Yeah.
I think I'm more likely to be
murdered by the cops.
By a cop
yep.
than murdered by the lack of cops. I think if all the cops just quit their jobs today in Wyoming, I don't think my life would change for the worse at all. I don't think people would show up at my door trying to rob me. And if they did, it would not end well for them. Because I'm always here. I sleep odd hours. I usually have a gun nearby. I have a gun on me right now because I just came in from going for a walk. I have a Glock with one in the chamber cocked, ready to go. If I pull the trigger, it's going to fire on a shoulder holster over my shoulder, cop style. I have a cop gun and I'm wearing it cop detective style.
Nice, nice. And that's a good point. I mean, cops really don't protect. They don't serve. They don't protect. They enforce the state's laws. They enforce the government rules. So I don't see any, I mean, most of the government rules are completely ridiculous, 99.9% of them. So if we got rid of the caste of society that enforces these ridiculous rules, all that would happen would be much less ridiculous. It'd be much easier to do things like start a business, make money, interact with people.
Or be a good person. Think about that lady in Casper who tried to return a lost wallet she found and ended up getting arrested.
Exactly, yeah. The cops wanted the monopoly. They wanted her to turn over the wallet to them. They wanted to be the gatekeepers of the wallet and then probably keep it.
Or just they wanted to be the good guys. They didn't want to let her be a good guy.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, that's what we talk about when we say they have a monopoly on force. They want to enforce that monopoly and keep it going. And if we didn't have government cops, I would not lose a wink of sleep. I would be much happier. And I would be much richer. I've paid thousands, literally, to cops for doing nothing other than driving what I consider a safe speed, and they don't. Or doing nothing but not giving the government my extortion money to put a little sticker on my frickin' window.
Freedom Fiends got your blood boiling? Tell them what's on your mind. Contact them at talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Going back to the how I've changed and we've changed in the past 5 years, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yeah, it's almost 12. You know, in that excerpt, in that interview, I'm talking about anarchists. The one thing is, though, I didn't really know about ANCAPs. I didn't know about anarcho-capitalism. I was basing the entirety of my opinion of anarchists on basically all the anarchist squats I stayed at in Europe when I was showing the DIY or Die movie.
Right.
And those were all leftist anarchists who are basically, you know, they want to get rid of the state, but they want to replace it with forced socialism. Or they think there should be voluntary socialism, but they somehow have this magical idea that everyone will take part in it and give up their wealth to everybody else.
The new socialist man, like all of a sudden people will just have the same idea and believe in the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, they could criticize us in the same way of saying we're living in a fantasy world, but I think that our fantasy world is more doable because all ours involves is taking away the force of the state. Theirs involves taking away the force of the state and replacing it with magical thinking that everyone is going to evolve to want to share their wealth. Or a lot of them believe in some kind of forced redistribution, you know, which is basically what the Soviet Union was trying to do, or communism was trying to do, was have a stateless society where the workers had a paradise of owning everything, but it just turned into instant corruption because there was a government.
Of course. And it always will. And this reminds me sort of Warren's statement, you can't get to where you are if you're successful without all the government things they provide you, the roads and the whatnot. So you should be forced to pay a chunk of your earnings to them. And, you know, the response to that is obviously that as far as the workers go, you know, the workers who have helped you out, you've already given them their chunk because you employed them as workers. And as far as the governments go, you've already paid them your chunk too because they stole it from you.
Yep.
So to me, the idea that society needs some kind of social contract, or we all have a responsibility to be forced to pay things or to be forced to not see our property as our own, is ridiculous because our property is ours. We've made it that way.
Well, you know, the image that I'm using for today's podcast, something someone posted on my Facebook wall and I altered a little bit. It says the government protecting and serving the shit out of you. And it's got a silhouette of two cops beating a guy on the ground with billy clubs. And I changed the S in shit to a dollar sign.
Right.
Because it is a racket.
That's exactly. That's why they do it. You know, Frank, who's in the movie and is a good little libertarian in his own right, was asking that the other day. He was like, you know, why do they do it? He was like saying it's ridiculous that they take money from us through traffic tickets just so that they can be out there to take money from us for traffic tickets. It's almost like a circular reasoning. Well, that's exactly why they do it. They take the money so that they have the job. They take the money so they don't have to do any productive work. They want to live off of other people.
Yep. I saw, you know, people have criticized us for being anti-America. I have two things from India today that are pretty awesome. One is a news article on Yahoo that said India wants websites to screen derogatory content.
Ugh.
This is pretty awesome. It's government officials are upset about web pages that are insulting to the prime minister or the party leader and major religious figures. India's telecommunications minister said he spoke repeatedly with officials from major internet companies and asked them to come up with a voluntary framework to keep offensive material off the internet.
That is such an oxymoron, a government voluntary framework. If anything's voluntary, it's already going to be done.
I know. And this is pretty funny in the irony, but the best line is at the end, we are seeking their cooperation. And if somebody is not willing to cooperate on incendiary material like this, it's the duty of the government to think of the steps we need to take in their voluntary censorship. But the best line is the last line, which is, we don't want to interfere with freedom of the press, but this kind of material should not be allowed. And the really funny thing is, those people probably wouldn't think that's funny or know why we're laughing.
No, they just think that that's good governance. They think that you got to do the smart thing, the right thing by society. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It really reminds me of all the intellectuals and college professors in the book Atlas Shrugged who basically say there is no reasoning with the average man. There's no rationality. You can't make a rational argument and expect people to do something. So for society's own good, we need to have rules and laws in place to force people into doing things. That's sort of the mindset here. It's free, but it's better to have order. So we're going to force you to have order. And where that infringes on freedom, that's okay. Okay, because order is the real main focus that we need here.
And here's an even better one from India. It's a news item also from Yahoo. And there's video. It says, Indian man releases 40 deadly snakes inside tax office. Did you see that one?
That's awesome. Wow.
It's interesting. What it is, the guy is a snake charmer by trade, which, despite the image of India inexorably linked with snake charmers, mm-hmm. snake charming is now illegal in India.
Of course.
And yes. He was trying to get the tax office to okay his land permit, his variance to be a snake charmer, which his family had brought him up to be. They've been for generations. Mm-hmm. And they were demanding bribes to give him this variance, and he couldn't afford it. So he couldn't afford to take care of his snakes anymore. So he just released 40 venomous snakes inside the tax office.
Right here, just take the snakes. That's your bribe. Here, you can have this very expensive cobra.
I think that's the most creative tax protest I've ever heard of.
Anybody hurt?
Okay. No.
That's good. I mean, we don't want anybody hurt, but I think that sends quite a strong message there.
Mm-hmm. They were eventually captured by Forestry Department officials. So he helped create jobs. He was creating public sector jobs or continuing the need for the public sector jobs because, you know, well, I could take care of poisonous snakes. The top bullet on my stack is always snake shot.
Right, right.
Which is basically, if you don't know, it's a normal bullet, like a 40 caliber or a 357 or a 9mm. They make them for everything, even 22. It's a normal size bullet that goes in a gun. And instead of having a bullet, it's got a little capsule at the end that has a bunch of tiny little shot, like smaller than buckshot, like, you know, almost the size, like a fifth of the size of BBs, and it's got like 20 of them or 30 of them in there because it's really hard to shoot a snake while it's moving, even close right. up. This sprays a pattern that's about 5 inches in diameter at 10 feet, so you can definitely hit a snake.
Seems like it'd also be good for mice and field things like that, tiny rodents.
Yep, that's what they're made for. They're called snake shot or rat shot. Yep. And you can get them CC. Who makes them? I don't have them handy. But, you know, go into any hardware store and ask for snake shot. I'm sure they're illegal some places because then it'd be considered a sawed-off shotgun, your handgun.
Because it's too short.
They're really good for, you know, when we were doing the shot in the movie where you shot the dinner plate with the Mosin at 380 yards at dawn, you know, DJ and you and I went out to the state land at 4 in the morning and got there and set up before the light.
Right, we were trying to get some Mosin fireballs or AK fireballs in the shot.
Yeah, and we walked, you know, it took 20 minutes to walk up there and back and place those plates up on that hill. And, you know, I was carrying an AK-47 in case we got charged by cougars or bears. They do exist up there. But I was also carrying my 38 special sidearm snubby, which was loaded with snake shot because there are rattlesnakes
right,
up there.
Right. I think it is always best to err on the side of precaution. But I think with snakes, I feel almost like if you're to where they're going to bite you, you've stumbled upon them by mistake. I don't think snakes tend to be aggressive. They're not going to come after you if they see you. I've been about a couple feet away from a rattlesnake once, and you know he didn't want anything to do with me, so all I did was walk away. Yeah,
but they will strike you. I mean, it is advisable, I think, to shoot venomous or, you know, constricting snakes when you encounter them. And rattlesnakes are not an endangered species.
Right.
There are a plethora of
Yes. And back to the point earlier, have we gotten any people claiming that we're anti-American lately?
Mainly it's been people blocking me or yelling at me on Facebook when I post our stuff. I've had 3 or 4 people who have made it a point to yell at me before they block me for our podcast. They're generally Republican, who I'd consider Christian Shereans, you know, Republicans who believe that the Pledge of Allegiance should be mandatory in school, that kind of
right,
people.
Right, right. Well, people like that, they make the mistake, it seems to me, is that some people believe that, you know, the American government in some way guarantees freedom or grants certain rights. And it's an amazing thing that we have this right to vote and that the government lets us carry guns and that the government lets us have free speech. But again, those rights are inherent in you. They're given to you by God or by nature. And the people that have infringed on my right to bear arms or my right to speak freely or my right to do whatever I want with my property and my body more than anybody else has been the American government. I don't think that makes me anti-American to point out that fact because I'm not saying it's the American people and I'm not saying it's the American culture and I'm not saying it's the landmass on a map that we call America. I'm saying it's bureaucrats like Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and yes, Republicans like Lindsey Graham or, you know, in the past, Newt Gingrich. Those are the people that take away our freedoms more than any other people. And they are the government.
Yeah, and I don't consider myself really patriotic anymore. As an anarchist, it's hard to. Although I still say I'm patriotic for America from 1775 until the Whiskey Rebellion, which is less loving a piece of landmass and more saying that's one of the only times in history that people were actually kind of free for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I have a direct link to it because my great, 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 great grandfather fought in the Revolutionary War on the American side and took a musket ball in the leg and lived with that the rest of his life. So,
wow.
I guess I have some kind of connection to that. I don't know if I've told you that before, but my dad's really into genealogy, and he discovered that. My dad also said that there was a dean that's directly related to us that committed regicide a few hundred years ago, and I want to know who that was, and he can't remember who it was.
Regicide, but does that mean he killed a member of the royalty?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I really like. There's a Simpsons where Bart is trying to call 911 because he thinks that Flanders is killing his wife. You know, it's based on the that movie.
Right, when he's in the wheelchair window. Because he broke his leg. Yeah. And he's at the camera. And Flanders screams, but he screams like a girl.
Yeah, and he dials 911 and it says, "Hello, you've reached the Springfield Automated Emergency System. If you know the crime being committed, please press the first three letters of it on the keypad." And Bart's frustrated in a hurry and just kind of randomly mashes the keypad, and the recording says, "You have selected regicide. If you know the name of the king or queen being killed," and then he just hangs up.
That about sums up the cops, exactly.
Well, I think it's time to take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk about, for the patriots out there, how can you still be patriotic when these things are happening? All right.
All right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
So what were you just saying? You putting socks on, because why?
Yeah, I was putting socks on. It's wintertime here, and we've decided to save some money. We're gonna not turn our furnace on. We're gonna try to last the whole winter without it. We're sort of in the middle floor of a three-floor apartment building, so I think we're kind of more insulated than maybe the top floor or the bottom floor. And so far, we've been successful. We haven't turned on our furnace yet. We just dressed a little bit warmer.
I have a recommendation. Here's some news you can use that's not necessarily liberty-related. It's just good news and good usefulness. For furnaces, I would recommend that one day when it's not terribly cold during the day, you open the windows and turn your furnace on and let it run for an hour, because when furnaces haven't been on for months and months and months, when you turn them on, they have dust on them. First of all, I'd blow the dust out of it, vacuum it out. Second of all, I would run it during the day at one point with the windows open to burn off the smell of dust, because otherwise you're going to find a night when you're freezing and in the middle of the night you're going to turn it on and you're going to be choking at the smell of dust.
Yeah, I totally see that. That's a good point. I probably will do that, because I imagine not only is it clogged with dust, but probably with Malamute hair, because my dog leaves hair everywhere.
That's a public service announcement from the Freedom Fiends that's useful. unlike the ones I keep seeing my tax dollars going to for anti-drug and anti-alcohol on TV that are just getting disgusting. There's an anti-meth ad now, Wyoming one, that's got a girl slitting her wrists and her mother catching her and the girl's on meth. And it's like really, really fucking violent. And I don't need to see that. I just think it's offensive. And there's another one that's got a drunk pregnant girl throwing up in the toilet of a club. It's like, I don't need to see that either. And then an anti-tobacco ad came with my municipal water bill. And I'm like, really? You're trying to save me from toxins and you're billing me for having a monopoly on putting fluoride in my water, when even the American Dental Association has determined that you don't need to fluoridize water and it's bad for the growth of teeth, among other things?
Well, yeah, it gives, if kids have too much fluoride, they get little spots of fluoride deposits on their teeth.
Yeah. I actually saw an anti-meth ad that I loved. It was on Reno 911. It was a fake one, a joke one, which is my favorite cop show because it just makes cops look like idiots. But it's silly. It's a funny, dumb show. You seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious. Good acting. And I think the way they do it is it's kind of improv. Yeah. Like they have a scene idea and they just sort of shoot it.
Well, this one was a fake ad done by the cops before they went to a real ad, and it was, you know, the lady cop with the short hair, the one that they always kind of make jokes about her being dumpy and a dyke and not cute, although I think she's kind of hot in a weird way. Had her playing a teenage girl, you know, dressed in like kind of hip-hop looking clothes, standing in a living room with like a 80-year-old man, and it's intentionally really bad acting of her and the old man. She's like, "I'm on crystal meth and my libido is going wild," and she's rubbing her nipples, and she said, "There's no young men around, so I'm gonna rape my grandpa." And the old man says, "Don't rape me, I'm your grandpa." And then she pulls out a handgun and shoots him, and then like climbs on his corpse and starts him.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's awesome. That's about the ridiculousness of the actual PSAs, though.
Yeah.
They do seem way over the top and not funny, not entertaining like the Reno 911.
Speaking of hip-hop, I checked out the Beats by Dre headphones at Staples. They had a little.
You mean the $200 headphones?
Yeah, they're Well, it was the 179 no bling model, and
okay,
and it was like, you know, set up in an end cap, you know, one of those little displays at the end. You know, end cap is a word I know because I've had a lot of books and movies out, and like actually you pay to get end caps in stores. And
right.
When I hear the word ANCAP, I always think of end cap. That's why I call ANCAPs ANACAPs instead of ANCAPs, because it just sounds like end cap to me. So anyway, okay. They had this end cap, and they were like, I listened to some music on it. It was George Benson. It was like smooth jazz. And They're horrible. Those headphones have way too much bass response, and I think that's their selling point. But it's like The bass is amped up to like club levels, and you can't change it.
Yeah, I think I would buy it if you could change it and if it wasn't $179.
Put it this way. The headphones I have that are $100, let me take them off, and are better. They're, let's see, no, they're right here. They're the Sony MDR7506, are $100 and way better. They have a smoother response and they are better headphones.
There's also a number of DJ headphones you can buy for between $50 and $100 that have good bass response. And it is sort of the idea that you want it to sound like the signal really sounds instead of amping it one way or the other, sort of a flat response.
They would be horrible for any music production because you would end up under mixing the bass.
You talking about the Beats for Dre or some DJ headphones?
Or any of them. Anything that's got a non-flat response, right, especially it has extra bass, is going to make you mix your music with not enough bass.
Yes, which I have never had the problem of.
So they're very much for consumers, not producers, although they sell them as if they're, you know, it's a producer's name on it and he's in the studio wearing them, which is bullshit. He doesn't use those in studio.
No, he does. He does not.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see the draw there. In fact, there was a pair of Sony headphones that the idea was to have loud bass. And what it was big, thick cushions that the bass could bounce off of when you put them on your ears. Like, there was like an inch and a half of like foam between your ear and where the speaker was. And I could maybe spend $50 on that if I wanted to listen to hip hop and I wanted to make it feel like it was thumping. But I'm not going to spend $200 on something just because it has bling or not bling, but just because it has Dre's name. I love Dre, but I don't love Dre that much.
This is for people who love Dre who are fanboys, not producers.
Right.
So speaking of tobacco and anti-tobacco and alternatives to tobacco, first of all, did you know that electronic cigarettes have been banned by the city of Boston for public use in restaurants or offices?
I saw that. That was ridiculous. Now, is it completely passed now through the city council? Like, that is the law?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So I have another, speaking of electronic cigarettes, not any brand in particular, but Mama Liberty was over at my house the other day, which is kind of cool. And you know she's a real friend because you know what a hermit I am. I don't have people over unless I trust them.
Right, right.
But she was coming through town on the way back from seeing family and stopped in here for a couple hours. We had a good time. I gave her that old monitor because I got a new monitor for DJ. I was going to give it to you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad somebody got some use out of it.
Yeah. I was going to sell it on eBay, but I decided instead give it to her because she's got an old like TV cathode ray tube one you could fry an egg on. It's so hot. So, you know.
Okay.
These are better on your electric bill.
Yes.
So,
and your eyes and your space.
And your soul. So, yeah, I gave it to her. But she said something funny. I was puffing on my electronic cigarette and she said, so they give off smoke? You know, because she saw me use it. I'm like, no, it's not smoke. It's vapor. It's nicotine and propylene glycol. And she said, propylene glycol? And I said, yeah, it's safe. They use it in food. And she said, not my food.
Yeah, she's probably got a point there. But, I mean, it's better.
Well, she's one of those liberty people that's food smart. You know, unlike me, who will eat anything, but
right. I'm actually trying to get a little bit more food smart here. I've packed on a few pounds since I've been married and since I've started my new job. Where
you packed on a few pounds when you met me and DJ because we started feeding
that's
you.
That's true. It's just been an onslaught of there was that, and then you know,
it's an onslaught of females fattening
exactly,
you up.
Exactly. So I cut fast food out of my life and try to eat more natural and try to almost go primal, like try. to avoid grains and eat mostly protein and fat.
The caveman diet?
Sort of. I mean, not 100%. It's mostly what I've been eating is mostly seafood and fats. So it's been tasty. I'm a real big fan of seafood and trying to avoid too much rice, but a little bit every now and then is cool with me. I'm trying to avoid the chemicals. I think it's a good trade-off as far as e-cigarettes go. And honestly, I felt the difference myself as far as my lungs not hurting anymore and feeling cleaner and having a sense of smell. Things smell. I used to not really realize that when I was a smoker, especially with the pipe tobacco since it's so aromatic. So I'm definitely still digging the e-cigs.
So speaking of the government and how it gets in your way by not allowing competition, last week we were sending out copies of the DVD to people who'd ordered them and people who needed them for to review. And DJ and I took 3 trips to the post office to get it done because we had a few boxed up of, like, you know, people that were in the movie were getting 4 copies of it or 5 copies, and they were over 13 ounces. Our post office does have one of those, like, after hours in the lobby machines, but you can only send things up to 13 ounces. And we finally had to go into it. Was the post office interfering with interstate commerce, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
I mean, can't you call I should call the FBI and say, there's this entity in my town that's interfering with interstate commerce,
right?
And turn in the
like
post
when
office.
My mom called the FBI and told her there's a terrorist group asking her for money and it was the IRS.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's like if it wasn't the government, the post office would literally fall under the definition of interfering with interstate commerce. And that is ostensibly what the FBI investigates and deals with, is interfering with interstate commerce. But all parts of the government interfere with interstate commerce.
Yes. They interfere with interpersonal commerce. They interfere with commerce in general. That seems to be all that they ever do, is interfere with free interactions and voluntary interaction.
DJ calls them the postal weasels.
Postal weasels. That's totally true. Oh, they're so annoying. Especially in Casper, there's this one postman who used to literally harass me. I worked nights at the news station, and I think he knew it. And he would bang on my door at like 9 in the morning and complain about how my mailbox was too full. And he actually took all the stuff out of my mailbox and brought it to the post office. I had to go there and get my mail. He wrote me a letter. He wrote me a harassing note and put it on my door, for Christ's sakes.
What a puss. He's interfering with interstate commerce.
Yeah, yeah. UPS would never do that.
I know, because they don't have this, like, I have the government guns behind me bullshit attitude.
Exactly, exactly. Well, and UPS, their paycheck comes from customers. They know that if they give bad service, people are going to stop using them, and they're out of a job. The post office knows if they get bad service and nobody uses them, they're going to get more government money. Everybody's going to say it's underfunded.
Yeah. And, you know, the only reason the post office still exists is because of junk mail. And it's like, yeah, UPS costs a little more, but I've never gotten junk mail via UPS. Have you?
No, never. They're not going to waste their time and money to do that.
I know.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
So, did you see that article? Drones cleared for domestic use across U.S.
I did. I did see that. Scary stuff. I mean, I had sort of known, not all of it's like completely new news. Like, it talks about how they've been used on the borders. I've known that since about a year ago, or maybe 2 years.
Well, the difference is this isn't a couple police agencies having 5 of them each. This is, they've been cleared by the FAA for thousands of them operating at any given time.
Right.
All over America.
Right, right. And that is definitely the scary thing. And ostensibly, I think the article says most of it is quote-unquote testing, but that's always the slippery slope they go in. Inevitably, if it's a government program and there's money tied to it, when they test it, it's going to be considered successful and they're going to keep doing it.
Oh, you know, and I'm just thinking, like, when one of these crashes into a commercial jet and downs it and kills more people than 9/11 killed, they're still going to say it's worth it for the war on terror.
Yep, yep. And the news stations will play sound bites from idiots saying, and sometimes that kind of stuff happens, but I think they got our best interest at heart.
Yeah. And, you know, initially, allegedly, they're not going to be weaponized, but you know they will be. soon.
Mm-hmm. I have no doubt about it.
I was thinking about it. It's like drones are the really like the workable Skynet, you know, or the Star Wars. You know, Reagan had this idea of like weaponized satellites that would be for self-defense to knock missiles out of the sky. And that wasn't really workable from satellites, but it is, I think, from high-flying drones.
It could be. It could be.
So if you're a Democrat and you like the idea of drones, you're basically supporting Ronald Reagan's dream coming true.
Much worse than Ronald Reagan's dream or his stated dream there.
Because his thing literally was supposed to be, allegedly, self-defense only.
Right.
It wasn't to attack people or countries. It was to knock their missiles out of the sky if they try to send them.
Right, and I really can't argue against the system itself that would knock missiles out of the sky. That sounds like a good idea. It's self-defense. There's nothing wrong with that. But drones, I mean, how are they defensive? I was listening to anti-war radio, and the guy was talking about sort of the surveillance industrial complex. And one of the technologies they have, voice recognition. So the drones can actually pick up voices from people. And if they have that in a database, they can cross-reference it and recognize who they're trying to kill. I mean, how is that not offensive to try to look for somebody's voice and realize that that's the target?
That's been around for a while, too.
But from the sky, from thousands of feet in the air with
the
robot?
No, you're right. But a very low-tech version of that was, who's the South American drug lord that was killed like 10 or 15 years
Escobar.
Ago? Yeah. The way Escobar was found, I mean, it was pretty hard to find him when the CIA was trying to take him out, because he'd been so good to some of the communities. For, you know, first of all, terrorized the communities to where everyone was afraid to cross them. And second of all, had provided social services, like paid for soccer teams and bought food for the poor and was loved. And people were putting him up in their houses and he was moving around. They couldn't find him. And they actually caught him using voice recognition from cell phones, you know, analog cell phones plucked out of the air from a low-flying jet flying over his country. Uh-huh. And, you know, they found him and they located him and they sent in a SWAT team basically that killed him.
Also, you mentioned Democrats. You know, a lot of Democrats are lefties. You know, when they watch the presidential debates, they seem to have a hard-on for John Huntsman if they like anybody from the Republican side. And in this article you mentioned, it's from Russia Today, where they talk about the expanded drone program or the drone allowances by the FAA. Huntsman is quoted as saying earlier this month that an expanded drone program is something that would serve our national interest and that it must be done.
Well, a lot of lefties are into it. You know, I mean, not the real anti-war people. They hate Obama now and they're really disappointed with him. But the sheep that go bah, and think there's two sides to this and don't realize that both the Democrat and Republican side are on the wrong side because they're statist. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of lefties that back Obama's warmongering and think, oh, he's just looking out for our interests. And, you know, he does it in a way that doesn't look as redneck and cowboy as George Bush. So they like it.
Yeah. They also like it in the sense that, you know, I've heard some of them tell me when Bush was president, they were so anti-war and they did the walkout day where they walked out of college classes and all this crap and talked about how, you know, the Fourth Amendment is gone and the war is in the Patriot Act are hurting everybody here. But now that Obama's president, when I bring up foreign policy and how he's expanded the wars, they say things like, well, you know, I really want to focus on what's going on here at home right now. You know, and that bullshit. And they say that, well, you know, he's doing this healthcare stuff. And he
which is really just, I'm turning a blind
eye.
Right,
right.
Because it's not convenient for me to look at my hero as a warmonger.
It's that, and it's now that our man's in office and he's giving money. He's stealing money and giving it to our causes. I'm okay. I've been bought off.
I was thinking the other day, like, you know, someone was like, well, Obama wants to tax the billionaires. And I'm thinking, like, any U.S. president is richer than a billionaire because he has all the money and he can do what he wants with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has everyone's
in
money.
In terms of power. And, I mean, he's got the most guns, and he's not afraid to point them at people.
You know, other than the moral issues of stealing to fund drones and the moral issues of spying on everybody and the moral issues of maybe killing Americans with flying robots, think about the technological issues of drones. You know, there were – I mean, this is fiction, but it's kind of funny. There was an episode of American Dad and an episode of Beavis and Butthead, of the new Beavis and Butthead, which is
great. Oh, yeah. Where can I see that at?
TV where they got, you know, probably BitTorrent.
Okay, but, I'll check it out.
Where the kids got a hold of a drone. You know, Steve and his friends snuck into his dad's work, and Beavis and Butthead were on a school tour of an army base and walked away from it. And in both cases, you know, these kids went into the control room and thought they were playing a video game. Because, you know, they control these drones from America. You know, it's like you're killing people out in the desert from the comfort of an air-conditioned office in Nevada or Arizona.
Right. Your hands stained orange from eating Cheetos while you're doing it.
Right. And, you know, they probably find the people that are the best at playing video games to do it. And they're actually, they're training the U.S. military, the Air Force and the Army are training more drone pilots, if you can call it pilots, sitting in a room somewhere, than they are training flight pilots now.
I've read that, and it makes complete sense. I mean, it...
But the Beavis and Butthead aspect of it, I mean, that was a month ago, and it's kind of come to fruition with the U.S. crashing one in Iran, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, that's really Beavis and Butthead-y, where one of your robots doesn't get out of the enemy territory.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's the first time we've lost surveillance planes or planes over places we shouldn't have been. Like, when I was in high school, I remember the spy plane crashing in China.
And, you know... The U.S. is trying to spin it like, oh, it was so high up, it's probably in it so many pieces they can't get any usable technology from it. But really, do you really think that's true? I think we just handed them the technology for it.
Right, right.
I mean, they don't have the technology of what's on the other end, but I think they could probably reverse engineer it from that. And, you know, gung-ho American USA, USA types will probably say, oh, those sand monkeys are too stupid to be able to reverse engineer anything. Man, there are really brilliant scientists in every government, because the government steals all the scientists and has all the money to pay them.
Exactly.
They'll get something out of those pieces.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, I hate to see any government have offensive technology or any. I hate to see any government exist, let alone. I also remember something that strikes me as very interesting, especially when we're talking about drones and the future of drones, is America. At least, well, fine, not America. The bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. have set a precedent of killing our own citizens and killing other countries' citizens in faraway places with these drones. When another country gets a drone and, say, one of their political prisoners seeks asylum in America, and they fly a drone over here and try to kill that person.
Yeah. Another really basic immorality of the whole thing is, you know, if you take a government like America or any government as, you know, you must obey all of our laws. Think about all the laws of other countries they're breaking 24/7 by even flying these planes over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I flew a plane over Iran, if I flew my model plane over Iran and took some pictures of it, I'd be in some kind of prison.
If the Iranians got you or if the Americans? I guess
either.
You're right.
Either.
If either. Yeah. If either. Yeah, exactly.
Think about all the laws that are broken by war anyway. Just by a soldier with a weapon stepping into a country where no citizen there could own a weapon, too.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of nitpicking. It's like walking into a crack house and saying, you know, you shouldn't smoke those cigarettes. They're bad for you in the crack house. But it is something no one ever brings up, of just all the laws of other countries that are broken by other countries coming in and doing anything.
Not to mention the laws of nature or the human rights. I don't know if I want to say human rights, but the violence.
War is incredibly immoral, but I'm kind of nitpicking on an aspect of war that's never talked about, you know?
Yeah.
You are breaking all the laws of the other country by doing everything you're doing, so.
Right, right. It reminds me of Ron Paul was recently on one of those, I don't know if it was CNN or Fox News, they really seem the same to me nowadays. It was a candidate forum where I guess they, you know, gave 10 minutes to each of the candidates and they asked them questions. They had all their mainstream media talking heads, each one of them got a turn. And they asked Ron Paul if people could read one book, what would it be? And he said it was Bastiat's The Law. And he said, because it explains that if a person doesn't have the right to do something, then a government doesn't have the right to do it either.
Yeah. Didn't Rick Perry answer that question with George Bush's autobiography?
I hope not.
I think he did. Really? I think he did. Yeah. I only know that because they nailed him on Daily Show about it. They showed him, you know, recently saying, you know, what book would you recommend? And he's like, well, I'm just about finishing blah, blah, blah by George Bush. And then John Stewart showed an interview from a year ago. And last year he said, yeah, I just finished. And John Stewart said, you know, I think the statute of limitations on just finished a book is about 3 weeks.
Oh, that's totally true. Freaking Rick Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of government is encapsulated in a Simpsons episode that I really like. It's the one where Homer makes a pledge to PBS to shut him up so he can get back to his show. I don't know why he's watching PBS, but
Lisa probably turned it on.
And it's where I get that line, if you listen one more second, you're stealing, because it's got Betty White as a guest star as like on the PBS telethon, and she's saying, if you watch one more second of our quality PBS programming without making a donation, you're stealing. And, you know, Homer makes a pledge and then won't pay it. He just made it to shut him up, and they actually send a crew to his house to take him away and send him off to some island paradise to replace the Peace Corps volunteers that are there. And you know, it's like he gets off the plane and Craig and Amy, the Christian Peace Corps members, are getting on the plane that he's getting off of. And he's like, what advice do you have, Craig and Amy? And they're like, try not to die. And they slam the door shut and jump on the plane.
Nice. Yeah.
And basically, it's like this island paradise of natives. And within 2 weeks of Homer being there, all the natives are like at war with each other and everything's on fire.
Right, so, right.
But it's because Homer tries to like institute some kind of government. Poor Homer.
Poor Homer. Bad idea, Homer. But I guess he never was known for his good ideas.
Yeah. Well, he ends up licking toads and tripping too.
Yeah, yeah. Always fun to watch The Simpsons and learn stuff. Freedom Fix. Well, we had been given a shout out by Paul Bonneau on strikethe root.com, and we were pretty excited about that. You were really excited about it because you really like that blog and you really respect Paul Bonneau. I do too. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about what he was saying, Michael.
Well, it's an article called Freedom is Not an Intellectual Pursuit, which I totally agree with. And he's basically saying, back when I was into politics in the Libertarian Party of Oregon 20 years ago, I used to sit around and listen to everyone talk about how many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin and have intellectual arguments about it, and I hated it, and that's not really freedom. And I agree. You know, I have a running joke that libertarians are people who agree 99.9% on everything and spend most of their time screaming at each other about the 0.1%. And, you know, he basically said he'd rather go out and go hunting and practice with his rifle than discuss the nuances of intellectualism and libertarianism. And he basically said, there's a bunch of sites that do it wrong, and here's three that do it right, and one of them is Freedom Fiends, and that's what I was really honored about.
I don't think there's any wrong way to eat a rhesus, so to say. I mean, I think as long as you've got the right idea, because I think that there's an infinite number of ways that people come to understand liberty. And so, you know, there are some people that they need that sort of intellectual, theoretical argument to convince them. You know, I needed a lot of that, and that definitely helps me. But I think Paul's right, and it really boils down to just leave me the fuck alone. You know, I'm my own human being. I should be allowed to do what I want. Fuck off. If you're trying to tell me what to do, you're the one who's the aggressor. You don't have the moral high ground when you're trying to tell me how to live my life, which is sort of how the Fiends does it. But, you know, in age, we do have a lot of academics that people respect for some unknown reason, Paul Krugman. And I do find it wonderful that a guy like Paul Krugman can just be taken to task and schooled by, you know, both street libertarians like us and for him being a fake ass. college boy who's basically on his knees for the man, but he can also be ripped apart by academic libertarians who can prove his theories wrong with simple logic. And I think we gotta have as many. It's libertarianism, right? It's freedom. It's the market. So I think the more choices there are for information and discussion about freedom, the better. But I think what Paul was getting at is that it doesn't have to be an intellectual pursuit. It doesn't have to be necessarily explaining logic to people and reading, dead French guys from 300 years ago. It doesn't have to be that to make sense.
Yeah. Speaking of the free market, somebody took me to task for posting the Freedom Fiends Fun Forum announcement on their forum. They said I was poaching. They said I was poaching people, and I won't say what.
You're trying to take their
I
homes.
Won't say what libertarian free market forum that was, but I'm really like, really, your free market forum can't stand a little free competition? That's not very free market.
I guess it's their, like we said, you know, we can kick people off of our forum because it's our private property. If it's their forum, I guess it's theirs.
Yeah, I think if someone posted their forum on our forum, I would go look at their forum and just post my thoughts on it. And if there's anything I was critical about it, I'd be very critical about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't kick them off.
That's the best way. Did they kick you off?
No. I wouldn't kick them off, you know, unless it was just spam. I mean, if somebody posts the Buy Ugg Boots forum on our forum, I'm probably going to kick them off.
Yeah. By the way, what the fuck about Ugg boots, man? Those are expensive.
Yeah, and I'm getting just spam everywhere on every single site about them.
Really? Yeah, we went to we were at the mall. We were volunteering for that the Angel Tree thing where, you know, you go and buy a gift for a less fortunate kid or whatever. And we were in the mall and we went to the Ugg boots thing. And it's like $250.
They're ugly, man. They're like the Birkenstocks of the now, really.
I didn't think they were necessarily that ugly, but I mean, $200. I wouldn't pay $100. I'd maybe pay $50 for them.
I remember this live video of Jane's Addiction from before they got signed. It was pretty funny. It was like, you know, packed club in LA, and somebody threw a shoe at Perry Farrell, and after the song, he picked it up and said, "Somebody threw a Birkenstock at me. Man, this guy doesn't even understand fashion." In his heroin wine.
Yeah, his heroin wine that makes him sound cool.
Yeah.
Right.
He looks really weird now. Like, his style kind of worked when he was 30, but now that he's like 50, he kind of looks really creepy. He looks like someone's like kinky aunt or something.
Gross. I can't say that I've seen him anytime recently.
He looks like someone's kinky aunt. I think what he's going for is Tony Montana in Scarface. You know, he's got really short hair and kind of like pinstripe suits and I think he's going for Tony Montana in Scarface, but it's not working.
All right. Fair enough.
So, you know, you got taken to task about 8 times by fans of the podcast of like, he doesn't know who Patty Hearst is. He's never seen Apocalypse Now.
Two different things, definitely. And yes, no, I have not seen Apocalypse Now. It's on my to-do list. All right. If y'all are really that serious about it, I'll go ahead and watch it.
Well, I listened to the last cast after we did it, and I liked the I didn't notice it at the time. You did a really weird segue. It was you were like, "Well, yeah, I've never seen Apocalypse Now," but you said, "Yeah, I'll check it out," because, you know, you gave advice about marriage. You said you should have separate bedrooms, and you went off on this tangent about that. Uh-huh. And it was like, you never really connected it, but I guess the connection was, you have good advice about marriage, so I'll watch movies you like.
No, I think the segue was, it's kind of a weird segue, is now I'm going to move all my junk, the ability I have to watch movies will now be in the living room.
You didn't follow it up.
Yeah, my bad. But in the past, you know, my wife doesn't like movies at all. I might go so far to say she hates movies. She does not like to watch movies. She thinks of it as too much of a time commitment. So I can't watch movies with her, so I watch movies until she goes to bed. And, you know, all of my movie watching equipment was in the bedroom, which means I can't really watch movies after she goes to bed. So the segue was, I'm going to move all my junk out into the living room. Then I can watch movies after she's asleep.
So I want to segue into a freedom thing, unless you got something else.
No, let's go for freedom, baby.
Okay. I keep hearing this thing of the left saying the right wing is crazy because they say Obama's going to take their guns, and he hasn't done anything against their gun ownership. In fact, he's made it legal to carry a gun in the luggage compartment of an Amtrak train. He's helped your gun rights. Even Jon Stewart's been falling for this. And why don't you go ahead and read my reply to someone who asked me about that? You know, they sent me this thing from the New York Times that was saying, Obama's not after your guns. Read my reply.
Well, you straight up tell him that this is all a propaganda hit piece bullshit. Obama has not passed any anti-gun laws in his first term because he has a bunch of other stuff he's trying to get done. If he's reelected, Michael bets you dollars to donuts that he'll go after guns. And he actually has gone after guns. He's unconstitutionally gone around the law by using regulations, mostly through the ATF, the EPA, the Department of Interior. For instance, the ATF has stepped up stomping on people with over-enforcing existing nanny laws that don't protect anyone. The EPA tried to ban lead ammo. We all remember that, which would have seriously screwed all gun owners. It would have really drove the price of all that stuff up. And Obama's Interior down on places that people can hunt or target shoot on public land. And that's really not a minor thing. That's a big thing. And Obama's backed the UN Small Arms Treaty, which could severely regulate private gun ownership in America if it's ratified. And the biggest thing he's done against gun rights is he's installed two rapidly anti-gun Supreme Court judges. So that's basically Michael's response to what Obama's done to your gun rights.
So there.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
So another straw man argument I get a lot from lefties is them hating Walmart, just outright.
Yeah, that really bugs the crap out of me. Walmart helps poor people 10 times, a million times, infinitely more times than the government has ever helped poor people.
It really does. And when I lived in D.C., this is a good example of people shooting themselves in the foot with hating Walmart for no reason. I lived in this neighborhood, Adams Morgan. It was mostly black, mostly poor, kind of like, at the time, really drug-ravaged neighborhood, war-on-drugs-ravaged neighborhood. And they tried to put a Walmart in the neighborhood, and the locals just blocked it. I mean, they went to the government, they got, you know, and the government, the local government was willing to block it, and the community was willing to block it, and they just did not let a Walmart in. They said they wanted to preserve the mom and pop stores. The thing is, in Adams Morgan, the only mom and pop stores are like liquor stores that only sell liquor, cigarettes, and like stale food at inflated prices.
Yep.
So, you know, the people were shooting themselves in the foot by keeping Walmart out of their hood. Walmart has fresh food, fresh produce, good prices. They're open 24/7. And it would have created more jobs than it would have killed too, you know?
Yeah.
And mom and pop, if they're good at what they do, if their store went out of business, they would have got another job, probably working at Walmart.
Right. Well, A, there is advantages mom and pops can have over Walmart, and if they use those to their benefit, then they're just fine, because mom and pop shops can be more specialized. They can pick a niche. Walmart has some of everything.
Well, I think that the niche that a lot of mom and pop stores had in that neighborhood was that either they dealt crack under the counter, or they were being strong-armed by crack dealers into letting crack be sold out of them.
Well, there's that point. The other point I'd like to make, in my experience, lower income people or people who are just starting out, they don't always have 9-to-5 jobs. You know, they work odd hours. I worked odd hours, and Walmart is my only option. You know, if you get out of work at 3 or 4 in the morning and you need food, where the hell are you going to go? You're not going to go to Bob's 5 and Dime. You got to go to Walmart. Otherwise, you're not eating.
I don't think there really are any mom and pops in Casper. There's two Walmarts. Do you know of any mom and pop stores?
When I was in Riverton, there was a Main Street, and it was a pretty good Main Street. And even now where I'm out, there's nice local shops. But they keep such goofy hours. They keep regular business hours. So now I do have a sort of a 9-to-5, and I can't shop there because I do have a 9-to-5. So I got to go to Walmart to get my shopping done. So I think one of the things Walmart does really well is it's so convenient. It literally opens up your world. It gives you the freedom to buy pretty much whatever you want at any time, which the internet does as well, but there is something to be said for going to a brick and mortar store to buy things like produce and food and stuff like that.
Yep. The internet's cool. I learned something interesting from the internet the other day. There's this site called howmanyofme.com. You can enter your name and find out how many people in America have your first name, your last name, and your whole name.
Nice.
And There are 1,671 people in the U.S. named Michael Dean, which is why I use my middle initial. I mean, and there's like six published writers named Michael Dean, so I use Michael W. Dean. And then I entered Nima Vedadi, and it said, there are one or less people in the U.S. named Nima Vedadi.
Right. I should send them a letter confirming that there is at least one Nima Vedadi.
Yeah. And it said there are 116 people in the U.S. with the last name Vedadi. And I said, I think they're all your cousins.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I probably know 30 or 40 of them.
That's a fun site, man.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Internet good. Internet also silly. I've been getting these ads on Facebook from the Venezuelan consulate in Washington, D.C. It wants me to like it. And in the little ad that pops up, it says that they are exceptionally behind social justice and exemplary human rights.
Really? Venezuela. Yeah.
That's like Chavez just being totally 1984 doublespeak,
exactly, man. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, people do conflate socialism for some odd reason with human rights because they think that the government can give rights and they think that if the government steals money from people that somehow have their money without, you know, working for it, that then all of a sudden you can redistribute that money and society is going to be better off.
I like the Parks and Recreation episode where the Parks and Recreation Department from Caracas, Venezuela, the sister city of the fictitious city in the show, come to visit the town. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious.
And they're like, you know, wearing military uniforms and they're covered with medals and awards and they all live in mansions and they're just really disappointed with the parks and recreation in this town. And they're talking about how in Venezuela, you know, they just have money for anything they want in the parks.
Yeah.
And then they go to this town hall meeting and he's like, I don't understand. Where are the soldiers to take these protesters away? In my country, you criticize the government. Prison. You're late for a dentist appointment? Prison. You know, just goes down. You overcooked the chicken? Prison. You undercooked the chicken?
Prison.
Prison.
Yeah, yeah.
People are never late for dental appointments there.
And the chicken is always perfect, right?
Uh-huh.
Well.
So what else, man?
I think that's it. I think we've come to the end of our Freedom Fiends Happy Fun Hour.
Really?
Unless you have something else.
I want something stronger to end on. I don't have anything, though. Oh, here's a good one. Former sheriff of the year arrested and sent to the jail that's named after him in Colorado. Oh,
yeah, that is a good one. I'm surprised we forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. Well, you had mentioned that that it's funny because it almost harkens back to an episode of Arrested Development where George Bluth ends up in the prison that his construction company built.
He cut the ribbon on wearing like old-timey jailhouse stripes.
Right, right.
Yep.
It's also hilarious. Okay, so basically he was thrown in jail. I guess there was an anonymous tip that one of the news stations there got that he was going to meet some guy and exchange meth for sex. Cops got in on it.
Which really shouldn't be a crime. And I'm sad that he went to jail for that. But he built a jail for putting people in jail for things like
that. Exactly, and that's why it's poetic justice, I think is what they call it.
As Ralph said on The Simpsons, the ironing is delicious.
Right. It's a great example, too, of how backwards everything is. Because, yeah, like you said, when he was a sheriff, he was violating people's rights, their lives, their liberty, property. He spent millions of dollars to build this prison, to throw people in cages for non-crimes.
And it's named after him. I would consider the fact that the fact that he's in this prison, in my book, is social justice.
There you go. Exactly. And I think it's really funny because if you read the story, there's quotes about how shameful this is and how it's a sad day for the sheriff's department. And he didn't become a disgrace in the eyes of the public. He didn't become a disgraced criminal until he was caught doing something completely voluntary and peaceful. When he was throwing people in jail, he's fine. He's an upstanding citizen. When he was, attacking people for victimless crimes, that's all good to go. When he tries to exchange drugs for sex, a completely voluntary thing, he didn't point any guns at anybody, didn't use any force, then he's a disgrace and it's horrible and he must be thrown in a cage.
Who was he trying to have sex with?
It was a man, according to the story. It didn't say who it was, but okay. I mean, not that that makes much of a difference in my eyes.
It doesn't matter. I'm just curious.
Right, right. To see if it was maybe some other public official.
Yes. Well, there you go. Social justice. I think that's a good place to end, brother.
Sounds
man.
Sounds good. It was always a pleasure.
Worms.
All right. Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me in the A-class.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by alterati.com, the Micro Effect Radio Network at themicroeffect.com, and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.